We're on our ninth week in the book of 1 Timothy, talking about the household of faith. We've been going through different things. We've started out with false teaching that was entering the church. And yeah, Paul writing to a young pastor, Timothy, in the church in Ephesus, and he's talking about false teaching. He's talking about how men should act and how men should pray. He goes in and talks how women should dress and how women should act. And it goes in. And it keeps going forward about different things on how to be a family of God, the living assembly. And we got in the last couple of weeks and we spent some time talking about leadership, on what godly, gospel-formed leadership looks like. And then we hopped in last week talking about who we are as a church. You know, we need to be a church that is led correctly and follows the correct teaching and the correct doctrine, moving forward on mission, following the Great Commission, following the Great Commandment. And here at Morningside, that's what we want to do. You know, we may hit a few bumps or snags along the road. You know, we're in the world. You know, we're not of the world. We're still going to have some hurdles. But the elders are trying to lead us through our vision is loving God, loving others, and serving our city. That's what we want to do. We want to make a kingdom impact. You know, God has us here in Sioux City for a reason. We need to catch up on that. Now we're moving on to chapter 4. You're like, man, you have a lot to say. 9 weeks and small book, and you're only on chapter 4. Well, yeah, Paul has a lot to say, and I just get to be the guy that gets to tell you what he's saying, and I like that a lot. But chapter 4 is kind of gets personal. Paul is kind of giving an encouragement to Timothy. You know, and he's a young, I like to call him a green pastor. I was there one time, and I needed those people in my life to speak to me, and I still need those people in my life to speak wisdom and truth into me. And it's a great letter for any pastor to read, this section. I've done many ordination services where I've spoke at them, and I always go to this chapter because it talks about being young, being a pastor, following God, and this is what you ought to do. But I think it's also good for all of us to read because, in essence, we're all servants, right? We're all here to serve the cause of Christ. We all answered the calling, became Christians. Now we're walking down that road. Entered the waters of baptism, came out. Now what? That's always the question. Now you get moving. You follow, you speak, you live the gospel. I think of Paul and his conversion. You know, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he was made blind, he was cast down, and God had a conversation with him. There was a conversion that happened. After that conversion, Paul was somebody different. He was one that was first, he was persecuting the church, killing the church, literally killing the church, and now he is working for the church, for the kingdom. And he's preaching, even if it kills him, and it ended up killing him down the road. You see, we're all called to serve in ministry. We're all called to be deacons. If you want to look at it that way, that's a big fancy word for servant. We're all called to do that. And we have to do that. We have to impact the kingdom. So today, we're going to do a whole chapter. Huh? How about that? We got some time. I don't got to be to camp until 8 o'clock tonight, I think. So we're good to get going. Some of you laugh, some of you cry. But we're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to pray. Okay? Starting with verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. He talked about this stuff in the first chapter. Okay? Keep going. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. It goes back to that attitude. How do you receive things? Is it gimme, gimme, gimme? I want, I want, I want. Or is it God? You give me this blessing. What do I do? You know, there's the way you receive things makes you holy or not holy. You know, sometimes in America, we're like entitled, right? And really, we don't deserve anything that God's given. We don't deserve that grace. We don't deserve that love. Keep that in your mind as we read. If you put these things before, brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. There's that older pastor coming out, you know, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which you have given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these wise words from Paul. They're words written to a specific person at a specific time in a specific church. But I thank, Father, that because of you and your grace and your spirit, these words translate over not only to me as a pastor, but also over to this church. Father, as we all are called to be missionaries in our culture, we can see how there's certain things that we need to immerse ourselves in and cover ourselves with. Father, we can never get enough of. Father, that starts with your love and goes into your teaching and correct teaching, Father. Just increase your spirit within us so we can walk and we can lead and we can follow. Father, we love you today and we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to break our hearts, Father, because if we're not following you, we need to stop what we're doing and get back on track. Father, hear our hearts today and hear our voices today. In your name we pray. Amen. Got a couple points for you today. The first thing is here in the first seven verses, I'm going to call it our teaching. You know, when we get into our spiritual health, we have to wonder about our teaching. What we're bringing in, what's coming out. See, Paul started with a kind of compare and contrast. He showed Timothy the right things to teach by pointing out the wrong teachings that were making the rounds in the church or making the rounds in the temples, that were just coming in and out with people who may just be checking things out, but were bringing teachings in. Now the Spirit, he says in the first two verses, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciousness are seared. Take a second. Hear those words. If you have your Bibles open, look at those words. There are some people who are going to teach false things. And if you question those people, let me tell you what happens. They get upset. If you go to them and you say something to them, say, you know what, my Bible doesn't say that, they're going to get upset. That is a key, you know, because they sometimes tend to have secret knowledge that nobody else has. That's every false teacher I've heard. And you have to be able to open your Bible and understand. That's how the Protestant church got its start. Somebody said, Martin Luther said, I don't agree, because what I read and what you're saying as my pope, if you will, I disagree with. So I'm going to protest it. Now we have the Protestant church. We're a church of people that should be questioning our faith and the teaching. Why? So we can grow. You want to grow in godliness. So you have to make sure the teaching is first, this is why I like expository preaching, it comes from Scripture. It's laid out in front of you. I love it that it's on the screen sometimes when the screen's working. You know, I like that. So we can see the words. You can read them. You can understand them. Understand what he's saying. Timothy is having some issues with some people who are coming in and they're twisting the gospel of Jesus and saying you have to do other things. And we know that from church history that these teachings came to be known as Gnosticism. They were the Gnostics. In case you're thinking we don't understand this and this doesn't go with us today, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you because the Gnostic Gospels contain some false teachings that Christians were running into then and the Christians run into now. There's a story called the Da Vinci Code. That's straight Gnosticism. Good movie, bad teaching. And if that fiction comes into the church, it is now heresy. You see how things are happening? The devil uses media. The devil uses people. He gets stuff in. That's some stuff. I'm probably going to step on some toes today. I like doing that. The philosophy that was plaguing the church was spiritual enlightenment, saying that they forbid people to marry, they ordered them to abstain from certain foods, and this idea comes from the temple courts. They were saying you have to avoid pleasure to be a Christian. I've heard people do that these days. They move off. They live on an island alone, so they can't have any pleasure. Everything's got to be tough. You know, they don't have air conditioning. They don't have heat. They don't have indoor plumbing. You know, they don't have wives. They don't have anybody to talk to. It's got to be the hard life. They got to live in poverty. I don't think the scripture's saying that. You know, Paul says, make sure you understand how you receive the gifts from God. You know, it's okay. I believe husbands and wives are gifts to each other. Some people aren't meant to have a husband and wife, and that's okay. But if you are one of those people, that is a gift from God. That is a blessing. You know, and if you're single, you might see that as a blessing too. Because you serve God. I've been a minister on both sides of the coin. I spent my first years in ministry single. Let me tell you, I worked a ton. And I loved it. But there came a point when you're sitting at home alone, and you're laughing at the TV, and nobody's going to laugh with you. Now God's saying, you may want to pick somebody up. don't take that the wrong way. But, and get married, please. Thank you. Just keep laughing. Sometimes I'm funny. The idea that true spirituality says you can't have pleasure. I don't think so. This came from philosophies of Greek and Eastern religions. Unfortunately, these teachings about marrying were just legalism. You have to follow these rules so you can be more spiritual. That creeps into every church, doesn't it? I mean, I think about the missionaries that went over to South Africa, and if you go to some of those churches or see pictures of some of those churches, they're still wearing black suits, white shirts, and black ties. That's America taking their culture over and saying, you have to be like this to be a Christian. And I don't think that's how it works. I think you need Christ. You need His grace. You need His love. And you need to be, as Paul says, immersed in that. Immersed in that. You know, false teachings can drag a church down. I mean, it can take a church from being a godly, holy place to being a place. Is this a place that people show up to and complain? Because there's confusion and there's frustration and things are going on. But let me tell you, if you like to use the word, are you spiritual? That means a lot of things in our culture. Do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Do you believe that He rose from the dead? Those are things, and how you answer those questions, those are what's going to tell you if you are truly spiritual. Paul made it clear that everything that was created by God. This world, the universe, and that's Genesis 1. He did it in His way for His glory, and He gave it to us to live in and to steward. Everything was good. And Paul didn't have any patience for the teaching that takes our eyes off of Jesus. You can't marry. You can't do this. Your hair has to be this short. You can't have that. You can't look like this. You can't be a pastor. You're not the right age. You're not married. You're not. Wow. You know what that does? That takes the cross, leaves the cross up here, but it puts barriers. I learned that real early in my life. I was told that I couldn't be a true Christian, or I wasn't a true Christian unless I was speaking in tongues. And I asked my Sunday school teacher, I just said, but Paul calls this the least of the gifts. Yeah, we don't talk about that, Kelly. This is what you have to do. I think that's a false teaching. Because it takes doubt off of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross and the blood that he shed for the church. You start putting it on me. What can I do? How can I have this? How can I achieve this? How can I earn this? How can I buy this? That's not the gospel. The gospel is a gift given for the salvation to bring us back to God. Jesus is our mediator. In fact, he took his righteousness and he placed it on us. Man. So when God looks down at us, you know who he sees? He sees Jesus. Because he can't look at sin. We're all sinners. Doesn't mean we get to keep on sinning, but Paul calls that in 2 Corinthians 5:21 at the Great Exchange, where Jesus became sin and took our sin so we can have the righteousness of God. So we are worthy now because of what Christ did to enter into the presence of God. Paul didn't have any patience for anything and took the eyes off of what Jesus did on the cross. In fact, he describes these false teachers in verse 1. They have abandoned their faith. Took the gospel, they threw it on the ground, and they stomped. They said, Jesus, I can do it better. I don't need you. So they turned away from Jesus, and when they did, they wandered off into what Paul called the doctrine of demons. I'm sure that made a lot of people happy. If you're not following Jesus, you're following Satan. You're following the world. You get that? There is no middle ground. One way or the other, black and white. And really, church, that's hellfire and brimstone, right? If you deny the gospel, that's what Satan wants you to do. That's why Satan attacks churches. You know, God has given us one true message. Paul called false teachers hypocritical, liars. Their consciousness had been burned with something besides the cross. Man. I pray every day that that's not me. That's not me doubting my faith. That's me taking my faith seriously. And church, we need to be praying like that. Father, keep me on mission. Keep me in the gospel. Keep me reading. Keep me studying. Keep me in attendance at a church somewhere. Why? Because we have to be together. We can't go at it alone. In other words, these false teachers have convinced themselves that they are above any outside standard. There is no absolute, Kelly. You shouldn't be so dogmatic. Why? You know what you believe? Tell the world. There's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Well, you can't say that, Kelly. Yeah. Well, I didn't. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Right? Church, that's the gospel in one sentence. We have to be dogmatic about that. False teachers say, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But if you want to add to it, you can. Church, that's a lie. Timothy couldn't just ignore these false teachers because they were determined to convince others to join them. Statistics show that a vast majority of cult members and former members were former members of churches. They were a member of a church somewhere else, and they weren't getting their way. they split off, they took people with them, and they started something else. Back in the Restoration Church history, there's a guy named Sidney Rigdon. He was a scribe for Alexander Campbell. Back then they had a lot of debates going on, and one of our church fathers, Alexander Campbell, or Stone and Campbell, he would argue the faith with somebody else, and this guy would write it all down. He wasn't getting enough glory, so he joined the Mormon Church. And he became a higher up in the Mormon Church because the Mormon Church said, oh, we'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. We'll give you special underwear or whatever. We'll give you a badge, a gold star by your name. That's fine. We'll do that. And he switched over because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he put his eyes on himself. Pride. Pride. It makes sense to me that Satan would not care to target the lost. You ever think about that? He's already got them. Why waste his time? That's bad stewardship of his time. He's going to come after the church. He's going to come after those who believe. He's going to come after those who just came up out of the waters of baptism and are now going, now what? And the church is not discipling. So they're going, now what? And these guys are going, hey, I got an idea for you. I know you just did all this stuff, but you know, if you did this, 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 and this, whatever those are, you dance around in circles every day, you pray five times a day, if you look toward the west and then the east, and you know, it's kind of like starting a Nintendo game back in the day. You know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I just aged myself. But it's one of those things. It's where you have to have these special codes so you can get close to Jesus. We need to be, church, as Christians, on guard against teachings and philosophies that are in conflict with Scripture. We can't afford just to sit around and soak up the teachings of our culture. Are you with me? One of the most important ministries I think our church needs to be involved in is campus ministry. We spend all these years just teaching our kids about Jesus. And then when they graduate, we say, woo, go off to college. Where they're going to learn the exact opposite for 4 years, and they're going to get graded on it. And you're paying for it. Campus ministry is something we need to invest in. We need to invest time in. Man, when I was involved in Omaha at the church, I was involved with Nebraska Christian College even, just mentoring people. I wanted to be involved in that. When I have students that go off to secular schools, guess who I'm calling? I'm calling the campus ministers. I'm saying, you got to look these people up. You know, we have to make sure our students are taken care of. You know, we need to be on guard. If we don't filter some of this stuff out of our lives, guess where it's going to end up? It's going to end up in here. And this is going to go away. And I heard this morning, I was listening to a podcast on the way in. I'm not even going to tell you what it was, but it was one of my favorite Christian bands, and they were talking to a guy about, where are you at in your faith now? And he goes, well, I still believe in God. I still read the Bible. I don't believe in it 100%. That's like, you've missed the point. I need to email you and say, 100% correct, not wrong. I always say when you come into conflict with Scripture, you don't understand something and you get all mad because the Scripture says something you don't want it to say, it's you that was wrong. It's you that has to change. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the gospel. Here's what Paul told Timothy. If you point these things out to brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. This is the stuff that you have learned. Stick with it. Don't be scared to stand up for it. Get in people's faces. I mean, Paul's calling them hypocrites. You know, teaching the doctrines of demons. No, you can't get any worse than that. That's going to make some people unhappy, especially if you question what they're teaching. You know, you're saying, what the Bible is saying is correct.
Well, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I went to school.
Well, you don't want that kind of answer from a pastor or from a teacher. And you definitely don't want to hear, well, let me check Google out. Like Google something. Yeah, anyway. Number two today, how are we trained? Verses 8 through 12. Paul told Timothy that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So we'll go with Paul's analogy, talking about training. How do we train? How do we examine our spiritual health? Are we spiritually fit? Paul told Timothy to stop eating spiritual junk food. If you're going to be spiritually fit, be able to pastor, be able to serve, you got to be spiritually fit. Quit eating the junk food. Paul told Timothy to have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. 1 Timothy 4:7. The Greeks and the Romans loved to sit around telling each other stories that had morality attached to them. Stay away from those. Stick with the gospel. Today's popular, I'm going to put it in quotes, junk food might include, you ready? Horoscopes, various kinds of karma. Yeah, karma, people. Just because you do good here doesn't mean things are going to happen later. That's a form of legalism. Various forms of meditation. If you just center on yourself. Yeah, okay. That's the problem, I think. We center too much on ourselves, not enough on God. And miss that all paths lead to God. Believe what you want. We're all going to show up in one area or another, right? We're all going to be in heaven someday. Yeah, no. Paul taught that besides watching what we consume spiritually, it was good practice to have a workout routine. Get into a routine. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers, for all believers, in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. 4:12 says that. So Paul told Timothy to work his faith muscles. You know, start building those up as a part of a spiritual workout. If you start slacking in one, be lifted up. Have accountability partners. If you will, workout partners. Someone to spot you as you work those muscles. We're not going to be spiritually fit if all we ever do is sit around studying the Word of God. We have to apply it to our lives, to our actions, to the way we walk, to the way we live. When we exercise our faith in a way we talk and we live, it's like strength training. If we take the gospel and we leave the church and we share the gospel, we're spiritually working out. Paul also told Timothy to be an example in faith, in love, and in purity. The Christian life is lived from inside our souls outside. You know, there's certain organizations that help you quit being an addict, and those are probably good organizations and all, but there's one thing I don't like. They say if you change your outside, your inside will change. That's the exact opposite of the gospel. God changes your heart. He transforms your soul. He makes you a new creation, and what comes out of you is different than your old self. Do you get that? If you become a Christian and you're still caught up in the same hobbies that you were in, you've missed the gospel. You just said, oh, that felt good for now. But really, I still like my horoscopes, my karma, my centering on my chi, my porn, my drugs, my alcohol, my cheating on my wife, my kicking my dog, all that stuff. You've missed the gospel. You've missed the point. We have to talk and we have to live according to the gospel. Be an example. Be an example. The life that we live is shared. We need to learn how to love together. And we do that by loving the unlovable. Because at one point, we were unlovable and we did not love God. And God opened us and changed us, unlocked our hearts. And he says we have to hold fast to our faith. Hang on to it, especially in the hard times. When those false teachings come, You can question your faith, but hang on to it. Don't follow something else. And we have to keep our hearts pure. Church, that is the most important thing that we can do. Stay pure. We guard ourselves against the wrong kind of junk that comes from the world. We have to have a spiritual junk filter. It's okay to question stuff. It's okay to say, I don't agree with that. It's okay to say, I'm not going to follow that if it doesn't follow the gospel. Number three, verses 13 through 16 are triumph. We will be triumphal, church. Watch your life and your doctrine closely, preserving them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Timothy, if you're a good pastor and you study and you learn and you're constantly moving forward, the people around you will be inspired to do the same thing. Somebody asked me, Kelly, why don't you put a sermon outline? Well, because it's kind of hard to follow my outline, number one. But number two, you're going to hear something that the Holy Spirit reveals to you during a message or while you're reading scripture that you can have a space to write it down so you can take it home and look into it more. That is so important to me that you guys get that. It's not just there because we like killing trees here. It's there so you can grow. You can keep notes. You can try to understand. You can walk forward. You can be challenged. You can write stuff that upsets you and come talk to me about it. That's my favorite part of the day. Come in, discuss things. But we have to preserve. Timothy, you have to hold fast if you want anybody in your church to follow you. What a tragedy is when a Christian leader who has brought thousands of people to Christ is no longer in the faith. Now, people will argue, well, he wasn't a Christian, really. I don't want to get into that. I want to say, I've seen his works. Now he's gone. Sometimes you have to ask, why is he gone? What happened? Sometimes the burden of ministry is just too hard. I was reading an article this week. I just sent it to my elders. If you want to read it, you can too. I can hook you up. It's called Death by Ministry. And I've always wondered why pastors always have a higher life insurance rate. That's because we have one of the most dangerous jobs in America. It ranks right up there next to, even with, deep sea welders. That's our insurance rate as pastors. But on the reverse side of that, that's a horrible thing. But on the other side, every one of the pastors says it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the world. Yeah, you don't get paid a lot. You don't have a lot. But it's not a career choice. It's a calling. Timothy, you have to hold fast, or you're going to fall away. And it's not that you're going to fall away. It's that you're not going to follow your calling. You have been truly called. You're truly a pastor. And the elders have laid hands on him. You've been called. You've been set apart. You've been sent out. Paul understood that in the end, the only thing we can successfully share with others is what we ourselves possess. We can't share the gospel if you don't understand the gospel. You can't share the truth of the cross if you don't understand the truth of the cross. I've met people like that. Man, good speakers. But when you listen to their message, you're like, that's just a bunch of cliches you're throwing around. That has no truth whatsoever. It's like you walked into a Christian t-shirt shop. And you just, there's your 3 points, the first 3 shirts you saw. You know, that's not the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We have to be disciplined. It's not the same as being punished. Discipline is for good. We discipline our children so they don't, I don't know, pick something. Talk back to their teachers. Whatever. That's not punishment. That's correct training. wasn't enough for Paul to influence others. He wanted to stay influenced by the gospel. Timothy, do that too. Develop an authentic Christian lifestyle. Man, if you're in church and you're singing about it and you're praying about it and you're reading about it, why aren't you walking it? Why aren't you living it? Isn't that a good question? There's a lot of pew sitters, right? Man, there's a lot of pew sitters in the world. I think they've missed the point of the gospel. The gospel is not a handout. The gospel is a gift. That's a big difference. Church, we're not asking for a handout, God. We're asking for God to continue to bless us, continue to lead us, and show us the way. The church, we have to understand that. We have to develop that. See, Paul was a great, I'm going to say, coach for Timothy. Coach Paul, Team Jesus. I mean, he was great. He was a great mentor. Listened to what kind of pastor Timothy turned out to be. Paul writes this in Philippians 2, 19 through 22. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone who looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as of a son with his father, he served with me in the world of the gospel. There's no one else like Timothy. He loved Jesus more than he loved everybody else. And he loved the church more than he loved the people to let him do whatever they want. That's a good pastor. That's the kind of person Timothy was. I want to send him to you. You know, as I preach to new pastors sometimes, I get that opportunity, I tell them that. What kind of pastor are you going to be? I ask myself, I'm sure Matt asks himself that too. What kind of pastor am I going to be? What kind of pastor am I going to be? We have to stay in the truth. We have to keep going forward. We have to hold fast. Church, what kind of Christian are you going to be? We live in a world where the pastor doesn't do everything anymore for us. That was probably one of the biggest false teachings of the church in America. I will hire a guy, he'll do all the work. Most of those guys, love them. I have some of those guys that spoke a lot of truth into my life when I was coming up. But most of them, and when they retired, they just hit rock bottom. No retirement. Nothing to do. All they had was their job. Some of these guys were 80, 85 years old, and they're still preaching on Sunday because they can't afford to live. Because all they cared about was the gospel and getting them the churchyard mode. And make sure the windows were clean and everybody was called upon. Where those things are all good, there's just not time in the world. And you're killing pastors. You know? Sometimes it's great to have someone like Timothy. I can imagine the stress that he was under in the church. False teaching coming in and Paul saying, you have to confront this. You have to confront it in love. They're not going to like it. And they're not gonna understand it, but you have to tell them the truth. It's for their salvation. I think he's almost saying, you know what? Be a good father to these children. Be a good shepherd to these sheep. Church, we have leaders that are under the same burden as going on here, and we have sheep. Nothing wrong with being a sheep. Nothing wrong with being a shepherd. But you have to know your place. Sometimes in life, it's just good to follow. It's good to follow. It's good to walk. It's good to understand. It's good to grow. And when you start butting back and say, I heard this from this happy TV preacher. We need to do that. And the leadership says no. It's not against you. It's against the incorrect teaching of the prosperity gospel, of whatever Hindu monk was talking about that day or whatever. Sometimes you just got to follow and understand the freedom that is in that. Love your pastors. Love your elders. You know, especially because we love you. That's a fun relationship. You know, that's a fun relationship. In conclusion today, every Christian, whether a pastor or not, needs to listen to Paul's advice. We have to teach and we have to learn the pure, simple gospel. It's only found in here. We have to train ourselves in the Christian disciplines so we can be good spiritual athletes, I guess. You know? And we need to guard our lives, our doctrine and our teaching closely, because it's going to save us. That's why we're here, right? We want to see Jesus someday. We want to walk with Him in heaven. And we read the end of the book, and we want to see that golden paradise, right? Man, we have to walk together, church. We have to live together in a way that challenges us every minute. And every step of the way. And we have to commit to pray for this church, for your pastors, for your leaders, for our teaching. And we have to hold on to the prize, which is the gospel. Good news about Jesus. Do you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that He died, He came back to life 3 days later by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that He ascended into heaven after 40 days? And that this is the best part, He's coming back to get us. Man, is that why you wake up in the morning? It needs to be. That's my challenge. Readjust your priorities. Put Christ first. Put yourself last. Love God. Love others. Serve. Serve, serve, serve. You haven't got that seared into your brain yet. It's written on the front of a wall up here. Learn that. Live that. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for today. I ask You just to help us just filter out the spiritual junk in our life. Help us focus more on You and the mission that You have for us. There's teachings flying in from all around us, and we need to understand what is truly from You. Father, allow us to love You better. Allow us to serve You better. And allow us to see You better. Man, Father, as we just come before here today, I just want to pray for our elders here. Father, take care of them. Give them strength. Give them courage. And give them a life that is lived for You. Father, be with this church. I pray for each person here that if they know Jesus first, that they will live for Him first in everything that they do. In the way they do their work, Father, that's their job and how they make their money. The way they run their household. The way they look at their neighbors, everything. And Father, if today, if people don't know Your Son, Father, I just ask You to reveal Him to them more and more and more each minute. Father, just immerse us in Your love and in Your grace and cover us today. Father, I thank You for everybody in this room. I thank You for the prayers that personally come from me. But Father, I just say we need to grow more. And we need to grow stronger. Father, take this place and allow us to have kingdom impact. Change us. In Your name I pray.